Welcome. I'm bringing this down here because you guys are sitting back there. So I want to get a little closer to you. Welcome this Christmas Eve. God has been gracious to us as He has given us hope. He's given us peace, joy, love, and of course that's all in the coming of Christ. As we gather, the first Christmas Eve was a time of new beginnings for the world. God created a good and perfect world, but it fell into darkness after the first man, Adam, disobeyed God. And at the birth of Jesus, a new and bright light began to shine in that world that had been darkened by sin. Jesus is that light, and in Him we receive the light of life. And by His obedience to the Father, life and death, Jesus pushed back the darkness. And so light is always special at this time of year. This Christmas Eve, we celebrate the new beginning that is ours, not only with lights, but also with hope, peace, joy, and love. So our call to worship is in the bulletin. Let's be called to worship here by our God. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light is shining. We have beheld Christ's glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. It is in His name that we worship, live, and hope. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go to Bethlehem to worship and adore Christ the Lord. Our first carol is "The Lord at First Did Adam Make." There should be sheets there in the pews. There's others in some of these empty pews if you don't have a copy. The first verse is in the line of music. The chorus is on the back page if you have one page here. We're going to sing just the first four verses.
Even as the scriptures say, and then in Eden's paradise He placed him to dwell, that he within it should remain to dress and keep it well. Now let good Christians all begin a holier life to live, and to rejoice and merry be, for this is Christmas Eve. And thus within the garden He was set therein to stay, and in commandment unto Him these words the Lord did say: the fruit which in the garden grows to thee shall be for me, except the tree in midst thereof, of which thou shalt not eat. Now let good Christians all begin a holier life to live, and to rejoice and merry be, for this is Christmas Eve. For in the day thou shalt it touch, or do it then come nigh. And if thou dost eat thereof, then thou shalt surely die. But Adam he did take note unto that only thing, but did transgress God's holy law, and so was wrapped in sin. Now let good Christians all be a holier life to live, and to rejoice and merry be, for this is Christmas Eve. Now, Mark. likeness of the Lord, which he to mankind bore. His mercy is Christmas Eve.
Christ has come. Tonight we remember our Lord who was born in strife to bring us life. We remember his birth. But as we ponder his love and the events of his birth, we also realize that looming in the background of the manger is the shape of a cross. This child was born to die for you and me, for our sins and the salvation of the world. In him we place all our hope and trust, for he removes our fears. We are indeed sinners in need of a Savior. So let us now come before him with repentant hearts and receive his forgiveness and grace. Let's pray together. Lord, have mercy on us and hear our prayer. We have not fully placed our trust in you. In all honesty, our lives have not reflected the glory of your Lordship. Yet we are the reason you came to earth. Forgive us for those sins of which we are aware and those which are known only to you. Restore us, save us, turn us away from our conformity to the world, that we may follow in your perfect way. Amen. The name Jesus means Savior. He was given this name because he comes to save his people from their sins. His word and work have been completed perfectly for you and me. So receive your Savior's full forgiveness along with his promise to remember your sins no more. And the people say, thanks be to God. Our sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to sing the familiar Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, out of the Blue Hymnal. It's number 152. Let's sing together.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shine the how silently cast out our sin and injury, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
I want to read to you from the Old Testament two prophecies about the coming of the Lord, His first advent. The first one is out of Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And then from Micah chapter 5, we sang, O little town of Bethlehem, and we know, well, Christ was born, laid in a manger in Bethlehem, away in the manger and so forth. But why Bethlehem? That too is prophesied of. Micah 5 verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor is given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the New Testament, Paul, now living after that coming, the first coming of Christ, speaks of that. But it also points forward to the second advent. And the advent season, it's a time of preparation, we say. And it's not just preparation for this Christmas, but it's preparation for the coming of the Lord the second time. And Paul ties these two things together in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's confess our faith together in the triune God who became incarnate, took on flesh, and dwelt among us. And that confession, this Christmas confession, is there in your bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, who sent his Son as our Savior on Christmas. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, announced by the angels, proclaimed by the shepherds, adored by the wise men, who lived to suffer, die, and rise again, to free me from sin, death, and the power of the devil. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who has brought me to faith in the Christ of Christmas, and by whose continuous work in my heart, I am ever to lay before the feet of Christ the treasures of my love, and live under Him as my King, now and forevermore. Amen. Let's open our hymnals and sing another carol, number 158, See Amidst the Winter Snow.
Sits amid the cherubim. Hail, thou ever-blessed morn. Hail, redemption's happy dawn. Sing through all Jerusalem. Christ is born in
verses 5 and 6.
Sacred infant, all divine, what a tender love was thine, thus to come from highest bliss down to such a world as this. Hail, thou ever blessed morn. Hail, redemption's happy dawn. Sing through all Jerusalem. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Teach, O teach us, holy child, by thy face so meek and mild. Teach us to resemble thee in thy sweet humility. Hail, thou ever-blessed morn. Hail, redemption's happy dawn. Sing through all Jerusalem. Christ is born in Bethlehem.
Amen. Our gospel lesson is the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. Verses 1 through 20, let's stand as we read the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. Saul went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. The gospel of our Lord Jesus. Praise to you, O Christ. Father, we do praise you for the glory of this story. It seems so bizarre. Things so common, and yet it's how you chose to bring salvation into the world. We thank you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So tonight, the season of Advent yields or bows to the great expectations of Christmas. Advent is a season of 4 weeks. And in our culture, most people have been thinking of Christmas for 4 weeks plus. Christmas begins tonight and then goes till January 6th, Epiphany, and we celebrate the great story of Christ's coming. Tonight, our preparations for Christmas Day are supposed to be completed. Everybody got all your things done for tomorrow? All ready. Some are still wrapping, some are still shopping, some are still scurrying about. But we're supposed to be ready. But really, we're supposed to be ever ready for the second great coming of Jesus. We're supposed to be like those wise virgins that Jesus talked about that had their lamps full of oil, and they were waiting for the bridegroom to come back. And so we're supposed to be ready. We're supposed to have our lamps full of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, moved by Him, understanding His Word, living out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. During this Advent season, we've considered the different words you see in the banners. We've considered the hope that Christ brings, the peace, the joy. And we've sung these hymns of the hope, the peace, the joy that we have in the Christ who came, and the hope and peace and joy of the one who's coming. For instance, we sang Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, great desire of all nations. We've sang peace on earth, goodwill to men from heaven's all gracious King. We've sang rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. Hope, peace, and joy. But tonight, just for a moment, we want to ponder Christ's love. And we think probably, well, this is the most common denominator of the story, but it all wraps together in love. How He demonstrated His love in His first coming is that babe in Bethlehem, but also how it's demonstrated in His second coming for His people. There's a There's a children's song in the back of our hymnal. It's a Christmas song. And I don't remember the title offhand. What is the song?
What's that?
Once in Royal David City, yes. And if you want to see that song, it's on page 639. But the last two verses kind of tie in this theme of the first and second coming of Christ. It says, "And our eyes at last shall see him, our eyes, through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above." He's just not a child now. He just hasn't died and gone away. He's in heaven above. "And he leads his children on to the place where he has gone. Not in that poor lowly stable with the oxen standing by. We shall see him but in heaven, set at God's right hand on high. When like stars his children crowned, all in white shall wait around." So we really should be mindful that this is a wonderful time of year, and we think of that great story of God bursting in the scene of man and becoming flesh, but there's another coming. The God who in flesh sits at the right hand of the glory on high, he's coming back. When did Adam and Eve first know that God loved them? During this season, we've gone through the story, the great story, as it begins in Genesis. So let's think of love. When did Adam and Eve first know that God loved them? Did they know that God loved them? I suggest to you that they knew that God loved them when he created them. The Bible says in Romans 1:20, "Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." So if we believe God's word, we have to believe that Adam and Eve knew God loved them. He made them. He took care of them. He gave them a place, a glorious place to live. We call it paradise or the Garden of Eden. He gave them food. He gave them each other. They knew God loved them. But after they disobeyed God, and after they ate from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they came probably to a greater realization of divine love. Because they're waiting, hiding with fig leaves, trying to cover themselves, trying to hide from God. They're waiting to die. "They you eat, you will surely die." They're waiting to die. Instead, he kills some noble, innocent creatures to cover his fallen image bearers. And he covers them in these skin robes. These robes of innocent ones. Innocent animals. And so the great story of love began. And that was a great picture, because there was going to be that robe of an innocent one that would finally cover us and cleanse us from our sins. Well, you go on in Genesis and we find out that Abraham loved Sarah, his wife. And when Isaac was finally born, as they were an old couple, he loved Isaac. And then, of course, God came one day and said, "Abraham, take your son Isaac, your only son, that son whom you love, and go up on the mountain and sacrifice him to me." Isaac, of course, was not sacrificed on that mountain. God provided a lamb, another picture of the Christ to come. Isaac then had a wife named Rebekah, and the Bible says Isaac loved Rebekah. And she had twins, Jacob and Esau, and Isaac loved Esau. He was a man of the field. But the scripture says, "God loved Jacob. Jacob I have loved, and Esau I've hated." Jacob found a beautiful wife of his family's kin over in the far land, Rachel. He loved Rachel. Sometimes we may wonder about whether God really loves us. Circumstances in your life don't turn out the way you would expect. He worked hard for 7 years for Rachel, and he was given Leah instead. He loved Rachel. God, he ends up marrying Rachel as well. But then when God tells him to go back to the land of his fathers, to Abraham and Isaac, Rachel dies in the journey. She dies in Bethlehem, of all places. She dies giving birth to Benjamin. Benjamin's older brother, Joseph, was the one that Jacob really loved. But Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers, who lied to their father, indicating that Joseph's dead, a wild beast had killed him, leaving him to grieve that death. Joseph, over in Egypt, is wondering about God's love. He's thrown into prison. But God meant it for good. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Divine love is at work. 400 years of slavery in Egypt we're told about. 400 years the children of Israel lived in Egypt. A Pharaoh came, you know, after Joseph died, who didn't know Joseph. And so they put these people in bondage. But God didn't forsake His people. He didn't stop loving them. It says in Hosea chapter 11, 1, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. So God sent Moses. By the way, that verse, Hosea 11, 1, is found in the Christmas story in Matthew 2. When Magi from the east came, they'd seen that star. Where is he? He's born king of the Jews. And they came to Jerusalem. Well, a king would be born in the capital. Well, he wasn't there. And the scribe said, well, he's down in Bethlehem. But King Herod, that puppet king of Rome, he didn't want a competitor. He tried to kill all the children, the male children. So Joseph, by being warned by God, goes into Egypt. Until Herod dies. And then this verse is used. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. And that was a reference to Jesus, where God told Joseph, okay, come back into the land. Herod, the one who sought the child's life, is dead. Well, going back to the story, though, in the Old Testament, Genesis and Exodus, that children of Israel that came out of Egypt through the wonders, through the Red Sea, that God brought them out of Egypt, they didn't always love God. They weren't often faithful. They were often disobedient and complaining. And God would judge them. But He judged them as a father would a son. He chastened them. That's because He deals with you as with sons. What son does a father chasten whom he doesn't love? And so here we saw again God's love in dealing with these people. And then 40 years after wandering around in that desert and after many deaths, a whole generation dying off, God still led that people into the land that He had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But before He took them in, He first reminded them about some things. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul. You should keep my commandments." But they didn't. Let me read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 7. This was some of the word that God gave to that generation after 40 years of wandering, and now they're ready to go into the land. And He says to them, "You are a holy people." That means not that they were sinless or really perfect, better than their parents, but you've been set apart to the Lord your God, separated to Him. "The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. And He repays those who hate Him to their face to destroy them. He'll not be slack with him who hates Him. He'll repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them." But He said, "I loved you, and I'll keep my word to your fathers." Well, you know the story probably. They couldn't keep the commandments that God gave them. They weren't able. Then eventually when they get in the land, they get a king, even a king of God's own choosing, a man after God's own heart, David. Yet even David fails. Even David disobeys the commandments of the Lord. Even David, the man after God's own heart, sins against God and against the people. And so I read to you from 2 Samuel chapter 7, because in spite of David's sin, and he committed adultery and he was complicit in murder, and yet God forgave, and God's covenant love is steadfast. And he told David in 2 Samuel 7, verse 12, "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you who will come from your body. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father. He shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him." God loves us. God loves his people. So even when God did chasten Israel and sent them into captivity, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Jeremiah. He says, "Yes, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you." He needed the people back in the land because it was nearing the time when he would bring the Savior into the world. "I'll draw you out of Babylon. I'll draw you out of Persia." And then years passed. They're back in the land, and Malachi spoke God's word. "I have loved you, says the Lord. I've loved you." But then you know what happened? 400 years. And it was silent. God didn't speak. The last word was, "I have loved you, says the Lord. And I will send Elijah. And he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children to the hearts of the father." But then silence for 400 years. It had been, when you think about it, from Adam all the way through Malachi, all the way up to the time of Christ's birth, it was a 4,000-year season of Advent. We've had 4 weeks. Our anticipation builds out there 4 weeks. 4,000 years of preparation, of waiting, of expecting, of anticipating, of hoping for the Messiah, seeking the peace of the one who would come, hoping for joy to fill their hearts, waiting, expecting, anticipating, and then Christmas came. And Christmas came, as we read that story, it came with extraordinary announcements from angels. Zacharias got an angel announcement. Mary got one. Joseph got one. Shepherds got one. I mean, all kinds of angelic announcements. Armies of angels singing to the shepherds. Signs were given. Dreams were given to Joseph. An old barren woman and a young virgin miraculously conceived children. This first Christmas came with Holy Spirit fillings. Men were filled with the Holy Spirit. Women with children were filled with the Holy Spirit. The child in the womb's filled with the Holy Spirit. That first Christmas came with inspired songs. His tongue came loose and he starts praising God and blessing God. Mary sings the Magnificat. Simeon sings his song. The angels sing the Gloria. There's all kinds of inspired songs in this first Christmas story. There's the star. There's the Magi coming from the east. All these extraordinary things, and yet Christmas also came with ordinary things. Ordinary politics. Nothing new under the sun. Men conspiring for power. Taxation. Registration. Rules and regulations. Sounds like today. That first Christmas came through pain and sorrow of childbearing. That was the curse that was pronounced to Eve. God wouldn't kill you, but you'll conceive, but it will be an increased pain and sorrow. Mary didn't have any easier pregnancy and delivery than any other woman. That first Christmas came to men who were considered ordinary, shepherds in the fields abiding, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And that day, shepherds were not honored people. Just men out there watching the sheep. That first Christmas came to a small, insignificant, oh, little town of Bethlehem. It wasn't Jerusalem. It wasn't Rome. It came in a stable with a feeding trough. But it came. And the God of love descended to man, and he descended to man as man, Emmanuel, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, God with us. Divine love came for ordinary folk like shepherds, ordinary folk like us. The angel says, I bring you good tidings this day. For unto you is born this day in the city of Savior. And a sign is given to you, and you will find the babe. But Christ came into the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I want to close with one last reference. If we did a little experiment, went around and interviewed people and asked them, well, how would you define love? If you're going to love somebody, how would you define that? Many people think love, and probably this is true of men particularly, but many think love is not making trouble for others. Now, I'll be a good husband if I don't make trouble for my wife. But divine love, God's love, the love that descended at Christmas, is taking the trouble that we've caused, our sin, and then reconciling it in his Son. And so I close with these words from Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the Christmas story. Just want to take a moment here and pray. We have some needs in our congregation. We're praying for Carol, Jens, Bud, Jeff, and the family. We're praying for Jim Hummel's continued recovery. We're glad to have Jim with us tonight. Dale, Aaron, Micah, Dykema with their different surgeries and Micah's broken leg. We're praying for Lynn's mother, and Lynn's up there with her mother this week. Beth's mother's also failing. We can rejoice and give thanks for the safe delivery of little Riley Grace this week and pray for the strength of mom and child. Any other prayer requests you'd like to share before I lead in prayer tonight? Yes, Kim?
Anna's having surgery on Wednesday morning. I came out with the ENT and she needs surgery on the nose.
All right, so surgery Wednesday morning. Anyone else? Yes, Bud?
I'd like a prayer request of praise. My aunt Joanne, tremendous pain that she had on the neck and the upper body, shoulders, and that has disappeared.
All right. That's something we've been praying about. Amen. Anyone else?
I don't know. Riley's back in the hospital.
I did not know that.
Billy
Rubin lights
yeah.
For jaundice.
Can you stay in there overnight?
All right, so. Okay. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then as we close, we'll recite the Lord's Prayer together. Almighty God and our Father, we thank you for the blessing of Christ who you gave to the world that we might not perish. We thank you that Jesus is not just a Savior for the Jews or the Savior for the kings or the special people, but he's the Savior for the whole world. And we thank you that he came not just as Savior, but he's come as the King. And that now he's ascended and he is ruling and reigning from heaven's throne, a man on the throne before you, and one ever living to make intercession for us. And so we come and make our petition to you in Jesus' name, in the name of our King and our priest, the one who speaks to us through the word. We thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you for the peace that passes our understanding that's given when we trust you and we confess that we are sinners in your sight and our only hope is you. We thank you for the joy, not just the good feelings that we have and the warmth and the sentiment that we share with family, but true inner deep joy of knowing you and being known by you. Lord, we thank you for the certain hope we have, that hope of the resurrection, that this body which is corruptible will one day put on the incorruptible, and we shall behold you, and we shall see you as you are, and we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for dwelling in us. We thank you for hearing our prayers, and we do make petition for Carol and ask now that you would give her strength in her body and peace in her mind. And give her, Lord, just that stamina and the desire and the strength to make the necessary changes in her life too, and just have a continued good health. We pray for Bud that you sustain him at this time as he encourages her and cares for the home and seeks to nurse her back to health. Lord, strengthen him and strengthen Jeff as well. Help them not to be filled with worry and anxiety, but to know your comfort and peace. Lord, thank you for Jim's presence with us tonight, and we pray that you would continue to heal his leg, his knee, and just continue to give him patience as he increases in his strength. And also for Dale and Aaron and Micah, Lord, that you would give them full and complete healing. We pray for Lynn as she ministers to her mother, and Beth also ministering to her mother at this time of year, and both with the sentence of death over them that seems more near than we sense our own. And we pray, Father, for these two mothers that they might come to know you as their Lord and Savior and confess you before it is too late. Give grace to these daughters, we pray. Father, we pray for little Riley and ask for just the clearing of her body from the jaundice and ask that you would just encourage Katie and Jeff now and that they might not be overwhelmed with doubts or fears or concerns. And Lord, we pray for Anna, who we'll have surgery this Wednesday, and that you would protect and keep and grant great wisdom to those doing this. We praise you for answered prayer, even in Bud's aunt. We praise you, Father, for keeping us this day. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name, who's taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Let's stand, and we're going to light candles and turn out the lights and sing Silent Night. Silent Night. Let's begin.
Silent Night. Holy night, all is calm, all is bright. infant so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing Alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from your holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
And now go out with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas.